Daddy, what are you doing?
I'm doing a podcast, Dizzy.
Hello and welcome to the Too Cool for School podcast. My name is Yannick. And on today's episode, I'll be doing something unique. So I'll be just reflecting back on what 1 year has looked like for me. So it's been 1 year since I started the podcast, and it's been an amazing 1 year. And I've had so many amazing guests that have, you know, come on and have offered, you know, so many, you know, unique experiences, which has just been, you know, amazing. And in that time, there's been so many questions. There's been so many questions that, you know, people have wanted to know about, you know, why I started the podcast and, you know, why I do what I do, or how I get, you know, the guests to come on. And I thought that this will be a good opportunity just to share some of the ups and downs, some of the you know, successes that I've had, you know, in regards to podcasting. So yeah, just to kick us off, so in terms of why I started, I think one of the key things that I really wanted to focus on was having a platform where people from our community will engage and be involved in, like, important conversations, especially around education. Education is something that is important to me. It's an area that I've been working in for a long, long time, and I'm very passionate about. And I wanted to have these conversations with my peers, with my colleagues, with, you know, my friends and my family and the mandem around, you know, these key areas. And I guess, you know, the long term goal for me is to be able to have a platform where, you know, people in the Department of Education or people who are sort of senior in government, when they want to know something or when they want to know, like, what our community thinks about a decision that they want to make in regards to education, that they're looking at my platform and they're saying, actually, you know, we want Yannick to run a poll, or we want Yannick to do this, you know, specific podcast session, or, you know, we want Yannick to engage his community or run a survey or whatever else. I want them to see the community that I'm creating and them saying to themselves, actually, this is a community that engages with important conversations around education. So that's essentially you know, my why in terms of starting it. And in terms of, like, deciding the guests, like, it's so difficult, because, like, when I first started and I did episode one, so I never did episode one in this studio. I think my first two or three episodes that I did was in another studio in Bolt, and the studio was good. The studio was amazing, but it was just expensive. It was just expensive to record there. The editing was expensive, and it's something that I wasn't able to sustain alone, like, through my own income. Like, it wasn't, you know, it just didn't make sense to do something like that. So then I found this studio where I'm in now. They were based somewhere else before, and I've literally just stuck with them ever since. And yeah, so going back to my point in terms of, like, deciding guests, like, when I first started, I was just going, not necessarily of vibes, but people within my circle and people within my network who I knew, like, worked in education in some capacity. So whether, you know, they worked at CAMS and, you know, worked within schools, or whether they worked at pupil referral units. My first episode was with two former teachers, and they was talking about like their experience of leaving school, and I always say that for me, like, my first episode, like, is and always will be my most important episode, because that is the one that sort of opened the doors for me. Okay, I'm doing this now. You know, I'm doing this now. And, you know, to be able to be here, you know, 1 year on, having done 20 or having released 20 plus episodes with many more, you know, episodes in the pipeline to come, I think it's a real testament of, like, having that faith and really stepping out. So, you know, that's that. And another thing as well, in terms of, like, deciding the episodes, is sometimes I just think about themes. I think about themes in relation to, like, education, and I think, okay, how can I connect these themes with, you know, what I want to talk about, or what themes that link to education, you know, are important, whether it's, you know, looking at the impact of, like, you know, menstrual cycles on girls in school, or looking at the impact of, like, students with sickle cell, or mental health and whatever else. So it's always varied. Sometimes it could be that I'm bringing guests who are sort of influential in the field of education, or sometimes I bring a theme and invite guests on to talk about their experiences, as I did with like my episode around adultification, where I had Aziz and Grace both come and give, like, their experience of adultification and what it means to them. So that's how I decide in terms of my guest, and in terms of, like, the questioning as well, like, a lot of research goes into it, and I think that's something that people don't really see sometimes, is the amount of work, the amount of effort, the amount of research that, you know, I put into this. Like, when I'm online, or when I'm looking at a theme, or when I'm looking at a guest, like, if they've done a blog, I'm reading a blog. If they've done a previous podcast episode, I'm listening to it. If I'm looking at a certain theme, I'm on Reddit. I'm seeing what are people online saying about, you know, mental health or sickle cell. I'm watching the TikTok videos of students who have experienced adultification, or students talking about their mental health, or students talking about how difficult A-levels are and whatever else. And I pull all of these things together to create questions that I feel, okay, this is what will engage my guest, and additionally, this is what you know, like, the wider audience will want to listen to. And yeah, so a lot of work does go into it, and I think the work shows in terms of, like, the engagement and the growth that I've seen over the last year. Because, you know, even for example, like, on social media, like, the amount of likes and views, or on Instagram, the amount of, like, followers and likes and comments and whatever else, like, all of these things are growing. You know, all of these things are growing. And I like the fact that I've been disciplined enough to say that, actually, this is my niche, this is what I do well, and this is an area, or the area. So education is the area that I'm going to focus on. And, you know, I think the most difficult thing is that sustainability. The most difficult thing is continuing, because, like, I remember early doors, I'm just like, oh, damn, I'm not getting the numbers that I want. I'm not getting the views that I want. And you start to like compare and look at other podcasts and whatever else. But other podcasts and stuff like that, they're not doing, you know, what I'm doing. And I think over time, like going out, speaking to people and hearing people say, oh, you know what, I've been watching your podcast. You know, I really love this episode about, and I also watched that episode about X, Y, and Z. And I think to myself, wow, like people are really locking in, and I'm offering people like something different to, you know, the things that are out there. And, you know, like one of my guests that I had in a previous episode, I remember them saying like, Jan, like your flock will come to you. And I think that's what I'm seeing more and more of. Like the people that are engaging with my content are the people that want to, you know, engage with my content. And I think that's, you know, that's so important. And it definitely means a lot to me when I'm getting those messages on Insta, I'm getting those messages on TikTok, I'm getting those messages on LinkedIn or whatever, because, you know, I still see myself as, you know, someone that's fairly new. So it's, you know, good to sort of, you know, sort of good to sort of see myself being recognized in that aspect. Like in terms of how I manage everything financially, it's difficult because all of this comes out of my own pocket. Like there's no funding, there's no things of that nature. And not to say that I haven't been applying, but I think with the podcast, unless you've got like brand sponsorships and whatever else, like it's very difficult to sustain yourself. And for the culture or in our culture, like I'm not out here talking about, you know, crazy reckless stuff or, you know, like the things that I talk about, like a brand might not necessarily be able to see me and be like, oh yeah, like, you know, like the youth are going to look into that, or, you know, this culture or this community is going to look into that, so let's put a brand sponsorship, you know, on him. It's not like that. So there are other avenues that I'm exploring. And I think this has shown me that I've had to be very intentional with sort of going outside of the box and thinking, actually, where can I collaborate? You know, where can I collaborate? Where can I link in, you know, with brands or other organizations, you know, as much as possible. And I think a testament of that is in September, I'm doing a live podcast. I'm doing a live podcast in collaboration with Autograph, which is a museum gallery in Shoreditch. And the live podcast is looking at like intergenerational perspectives. So the discussion or the talk that I'm going to be having is around that perspective of, you know, mum coming to the UK as an immigrant, raising myself, you know, her son, to sort of navigate this UK education system, you know, which is an unknown to her, which is alien to her, having to come here, having to navigate that system, and, you know, the difficulties and the challenges that she found around that. And then me, this young man who has grown up not only studying in the system, but growing up to be an educator, growing up to, you know, to do like a master's degree and become a consultant and still work in education in, you know, a significant capacity. And looking at my relationship, another generational shift is now looking at my relationship with like a former student and the student giving their perspective of, you know, how it was to be, you know, led by me as a head of year, and the things that they learned from me in terms of like identity, belonging, education. So looking at that sort of threefold intergenerational perspective of my mum, myself, and my student. And that's, you know, something that I've done in collaboration with Autograph. So I'll be sharing more details about that all over my social media. But yeah, that is always another thing of what can I do to collaborate? What can I do to sort of get myself out there more, and being very, very intentional. So you know, we keep pushing, we keep going. I've got so many amazing episodes still to come. I've got so many amazing guests, you know, still hoping to reach out to. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I think as well, you know, for me, I don't know what the future holds, but this is something that I'm 100%, you know, 100% passionate about, and I see this being a sort of, you know, long-term thing that you know, that I move forward with for sure. Sort of reflecting back, what's been my most favorite episode? I would say my most favorite episode was either episode 6, Father Figures, or episode 21, St. Buns. I would say episode 6, Father Figures, because that's the first time I did an episode and I was laughing. Like the boys just made me laugh, man. Like their experiences and talking about, you know, fatherhood and its impact on education. And I found myself letting my hair down. I found myself being more comfortable. Whereas when I was doing the earlier episodes, I felt that, you know, I was giving like corporate vibes and trying to be, you know, very on point. And that episode just relaxed me. And I'll say episode 21, St. Buns, because to be honest with you, I always wanted to do an episode like reflecting on my experiences of school. But then I was also conscious of the fact that, like, you know, we're from the hood, you know, We may not be, you know, there now, but we're from the hood. And I didn't know how I was going to navigate those conversations with my boys. And I also didn't want to constrain them. And I also didn't want them to feel like they couldn't be themselves, because like this is a free platform. This is my platform. And I encourage everyone to be themselves. And, you know, what you see of them is still a part of me, because that's, you know, those are my friends. Those, you know, that's how I grew up. That's how I lived my life. And, you know, it's funny because at the time of recording, that is my most viewed episode on YouTube, and it's my most listened to episode across like Spotify podcast and Amazon podcast as well. So I would say like those two episodes have been like my best episodes. There's not been an episode that I felt has gone bad. I think there's been episodes that I've found difficult in terms of like they've challenged me inwardly. And I would say like the sickle cell episode, because the guests that I had on for those episodes, like my boy Rizzy and my cousin Ali, big them both up for the amazing work that they're doing. I didn't really know the extent of how sickle cell like impacted their lives. And I've known them for a long, long time, you know, 20, like 30 plus years. And I just felt like I was learning everything in that moment. Even though I'd known them for a long time, I didn't really know them because I didn't really know what they were going through. So it's made me sort of reflect and look back and think, damn, like, you know, in this life, like, you don't really know what people are going through. So now I see them. Like, now I see them. When I message and it's like a day or two and I don't get a response, I know, okay, they might be having a crisis, or they might be in hospital, or they might be recovering from, you know, a transfusion. Like, I see them. So I think that's an episode that's really, you know, challenged me, you know, personally. In terms of, like, other challenges around the podcast, I guess this is twofold. One is, like, trying to get the guests that you want on. So, you know, you could reach out to people, and sometimes, you know, the conversations start, or sometimes they just ignore and don't reply. Or sometimes, like, things are getting penciled in and whatever else, but, like, is really slow. So it makes me think, oh, like, does this person want to work with me or not? And I just think, you know, I'm someone that I trust in God's timing, and I'm like, you know, if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. And I don't really want to be chasing people to the point where, like, I'm down, you know, like, I'm going down your throat type thing. So like, that's a challenge. But I think I'm blessed in the sense where I've been able to get the people that I've wanted to get. And every episode that's been shared has been, you know, an amazing episode. And I think all the guests that I've had on, you know, honestly, so lucky for me, have been amazing guests. And I'll say another challenge as well is people getting in touch with me, wanting to do an episode, but not really knowing what I stand for, but just wanting to talk and wanting to be on a platform because maybe they've seen the friends beyond the episode, or maybe they've seen, you know, a crazy amount of views on social media or whatever else. And it's like, oh, yeah, you know, like, I want to do an episode with you. But sometimes I think, like, okay, what's the episode? Like, you're not bringing nothing to the table. You just want to do an episode back of, you know, on the back of something that you've seen. Some people aren't even following me. They just come into the DMs and this is what, you know, they want. So that's been, you know, that's been difficult as well. But I just find myself just politely saying, like, no, like, you know, that's not an option for me right now. And another challenge that I found as well is, like, people believing in, you know, what I do. And I guess across the board, not just for me, but for many people who have, like, their own projects and have set up their own things, it's like, how do we get people to believe in what you do? And is it even important for people to believe in what you do? I don't know. I remember a conversation that I had with someone when I first started. And I was like, oh, you know, my podcast, this is my idea, blah, blah, blah. I might have been one or two episodes in. And the person said, nah, man, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, people are not really going to vibe with what you want. You should try to get a celebrity on. You should try to get someone that's known in the culture to come and talk about the experience of education. And then for me, I was like, all right, cool, thank you for not having faith and not believing in me. Because that was even fuel for me. But then it really ignited that passion for me to really amplify the voices that I've had on. Like, I want to hear about this. I want to hear from the sickle cell advocates. I want to hear from Irene and her experience of social work. I want to hear from, you know, Joy, who has done so much in terms of like advocacy for education. I want to hear from my students to talk about their experience of A-levels. Sorry, but I right now I don't want to hear what the celebrity's got to say about, because then it becomes about the person rather than their experience. Does that make sense? And I think that's one of the telling things about the platform as well, because people want to hear about their experiences. And when I get voices here and I amplify those voices, like the reach is amazing. And I'll give the example of an episode that I did with around the educational psychologist with Dr. Shyla Barkley and Dr. Jason as well, educational psychologist. Like, they don't have, or I didn't like invite or collaborate with them like initially on like social media. I wasn't putting their ads on social media, etc. But at the time, like, their episode was like my second most viewed, because people just wanting to engage with the content, to the point where the AEP, which is the Association of Educational Psychologists, got in touch with me, or I got in touch with them actually, was having a back and forth conversation, and they really liked the episode, and they said, yeah, can we share it with everyone, you know, on our newsletters. And the AEP, for those who know, it's like the association that you apply to become an educational psychologist through. And like an additional example, like if you go on, I think, like both on, definitely on my Instagram, but even on TikTok as well, like the clips that I've gotten around like my A-level episode with like my former students, like those are my most watched clips, and I've not really even added them, but it's about the voice. People see the voice and the voice gets amplified. It's not people seeing, oh, like who's, you know, like who's this celebrity or who's this person or you got this person. No, it's not about that. It's about amplifying the voices. And I think that's had like a big, big impact in terms of what I do. And we've seen like a big, big reach in terms of that as well. So like a lot of people ask as well, like whether this is something that I do full time. No, this is not something that I do full time. I work full time as education consultant. So I work for a local authority in East London, and the work that I do is around reducing school exclusions in the borough. So offering like SMH support for schools, senior leadership teams, and working to support them to reintegrate any sort of complex students or any students that are at risk of exclusion, sort of making sure that they don't get excluded. And, you know, we really do some intense, tailored support. Again, whether it's with class teachers, whether it's offering training, whether it's doing observations and sending out recommendations to school of, you know, you need to do the X, Y, and Z. Let's review it in a couple of weeks and just monitor the progress. And, you know, in rare cases, it could involve like, you know, direct like one-to-one work with the child before, you know, we sort of close the case. But yeah, that's what I do in terms of full-time work. And this is something that I do outside. And it meshes, you know, it meshes really good with, you know, the podcast, because of a lot of these, you know, a lot of these things link. And I think one of the things that I'm very appreciative of is, you know, even within the council that I work, like colleagues and people with the council, within the council, like they know about, like they know about like the podcast, you know, like they watch it, they talk to me about, you know, episodes, like we have those, you know, discussions. Like I've been, like there was one school I walked into and I remember like the receptionist was like, oh, like your face looks familiar. Oh, like you do a podcast thing. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, I do a podcast. And I remember speaking to like another primary school teacher, and they was talking about an episode, and talking about like the relationship between like parent and child and the trauma that the parent sometimes has, like puts on the child as a result of their own trauma when they went to school. And the head teacher was like, oh yeah, I've referenced that in a meeting with a parent, you know, from watching your episode. And I was like, wow, like, you know, it's really making an impact. So it's been, you know, it's been amazing in terms of like the impact, in terms of the reach that it's done. That's been amazing. I know a lot of people have asked me as well about like the intro. So you hear the daddy, what are you doing? Then I say, oh, I'm doing a podcast, Dizzy. So yeah, like that intro was like when I first started the pod, I think my son was a year and a bit, and that's literally what he would ask me every day, like every day, every second, like, daddy, what are you doing? Daddy, what are you doing? And me having the creative mind that I'm doing, the creative mindset that I have, I remember, I think I must have been on the phone to him just as I was going into a podcast, and he asked, like, daddy, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm doing a podcast, Dizzy. And I was like, boom, that's my intro. So that's how I literally got the intro. And also, I'm conscious of like little things that I notice, like people within society and people within the world do. Like, for example, like, you know, rappers like DJ Khaled and I know, you know, Drake and stuff have done it as well, where they make like their kids executive producers. And as a result of that, they get royalties and whatever else. And I've always been of the mindset that wherever the trajectory of like the podcast goes, like that's always going to be something that's on my mindset. So if someone says, oh, you know what, we love this podcast that you're doing, like we want to sign you, or we want to do this, or we want to do that, I'm gonna have to say, listen, like, my son does the intro, like you need to put something on the table for him, like as part of that, like he contributes to that every episode. Like that's one of the main constant of the podcast, is that I'm the host and my son does the intro. That never changes. Like the guests might change. I can even change the location if I wanted to. The themes may change, but he's always the intro and I'm always the host. So, you know, that's his contribution, and you know, some way down the line, you know, if things pick up, then that's going to be, you know, something that I hope, you know, is reflected when we start talking about, you know, those big boy contracts. But yeah, it's, you know, as I've said, you know, just definitely reflecting, it's been an amazing year. You know, I just thank God for like my family. I thank God for my family, you know, I thank God, you know, for God to just giving me like the persistence, the courage, you know, when I've been struggling or when I've been low or when I've not been wanting to do this or when I've not come with the right mindset, you know, it's just given me, you know, this platform that has opened so many doors for me, so many, you know, invaluable connections. And it's not something that, you know, it's not something that I take for granted, you know, by any means. It's not something that I take for granted by any means. And I know for sure the next year, like if you guys thought, oh, you know what, he's had some amazing episodes and, you know, he's had some amazing guests and they've done some amazing topics, etc. If you think like this period was good, then you guys need to watch out for what the next year will look like, because the next year is going to be bigger. The next year is going to, you know, be better, and we're just going to keep going from strength to strength. So yeah, I think the last thing before, you know, I sort of finish off, I always love engaging my community, this community that I have, you know, the people that watch the podcast, to you know, to think about actually what episodes or what guests you know, they would like me to sort of feature on the podcast. So if there are any particular themes or if there are any particular guests that you feel would be amazing to have on the show, please let me know. I'm gonna do a little bit where you can comment you know, underneath the video, just in the comment section, drop a line, you know, who would you like to see on the podcast, what stories, what discussions, what themes, you know, what things would you like to hear. And a big thank you to you guys, a big thank you to you guys, a big thank you to my support system, my audience, my community, for the loyalty, for the support, for the love. You know, it's been amazing, and I'm hoping to share more you know, amazing journeys with you guys. So thank you. That has been year one of the Too Cool for School podcast. And as always, if you enjoy the podcast, if you like to find out more, if you like to engage with us more, subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on all social media platforms. Thank you.